practice. Good morning. I pray you all have been blessed already by the presence of God. Amen. There's nothing like his presence to bring life into your soul, right? And so we never want to run through praise and worship time. I want to allow his presence to move. I pray you were encouraged by the exhortation that came forward today. And again, that's what we want to do. We come together. We want to lift him up. You know, God is looking for people to fill up. You know, at times we get the wrong impression of God. We think that we need to chase him down for a blessing. When reality is, our God is looking for people to bless. He doesn't have a lack of resources. Not like he only has so many good things to hand out today, right? He has plenty, but he's looking for people whose hearts are open, right? And again, so God always wants to adjust us that we see him in the proper light. You serve a good God. He's a good God. I don't care what your valley is today, because you have some type of challenge today. Every one of us. The scripture tells us that. Every day Jesus said you're going to have some trouble. So we're all in some type of a valley. Some of you are, you're so far down you can't see the top, right? But that's reality. But it doesn't matter where you are, God is good, and he is with you, and he wants to carry you through it. He desires to speak life to you. He desires to. Man, but will you believe it? Will you believe it? Amen. Well, listen, we're in the third part of our Sunday school series. Sunday school series where we're teaching the same thing up here that they are teaching to the kids on the lower level. And we're revisiting this with a little bit of, with a fun this summer. And I hope that you do have your doodle sheet. You got your, all right, you're here to take notes. I should see more people taking notes today than I have in a long time, all right? So take some notes. Why should you take notes? Because you don't remember stuff, that's why, right? You don't remember things. So pull out your phone, use the sheet. That's what that is for. You do have a snack, hold on to that. It's not snack time yet, kids, okay? So that will come in a little bit here. You know, and the thing is about this Sunday school series, really we're talking about famous people from the Bible. Famous stories in the Bible. And many of us who went to church as kids or years and years ago, we heard these stories. And they were good. They meant something. But as we look at them during this month and going into next month, as we look at these stories, one thing you'll see if you focus is that there is such depth in these stories. There is such life and significance in these stories that it can truly speak life to you. Right? It's not just a kid's story. It's reality. It's reality, and we want to be open to that. And today, we're going to look at an example of integrity, you know, in a culture of compromise. Integrity in a culture of compromise. And again, because integrity is something that's so lacking in our culture right now. Right? I mean, integrity is something that really the culture is desperate for. We don't even, you know, the sad part is when you turn on the news or the radio, you don't expect integrity, right? We're jaundiced to all things. We're suspicious of all things. And we're really struggling because how do we live with integrity in a culture of compromise? There's compromise all around us. And what's missing in today's culture is just flat out, it's integrity. Integrity. Proverbs 27:7 says this. It says, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are the children who follow them. And it's, again, just define integrity. It means whole or undivided, undivided. And the thing is, I just want you to catch here as you look at these definitions that integrity is bigger than we think. It's wider than we think. It's more than just being honest. We think that person has integrity. When they say they're going to do something, they do it. It's more than that. Integrity speaks of completeness. It speaks of doing the right thing. It speaks of strength. To walk in integrity, you have to walk in strength. It's active. It's an active thing. Integrity is not passive. There's an activity involved in it. It's complete. You know, see, in the world, you could be considered a person of integrity if you're honest in business, but you can be a jerk at home. Right? That would still call that person the person of integrity. In the kingdom of God, you can't do that. In God's kingdom, you have to be whole. You have to be undivided. You have to be the same person all the time. That's what integrity is. You know, integrity is who you are when no one is looking. Right? Integrity is who you are, how you behave when you don't have an audience. You know, listen, the best compliments I receive from my family is when someone asks them, they point at me and they say, is he like that all the time? And they say, yes, he's the same person. He's the same person at home as he is here. He's the same person on Tuesday night as he is Sunday morning. He's the same person on the tennis court or at the ball. He's the same person at school board, wherever he is, he's the same person. Right? I want to be the same person. Of course, so do you. That's what integrity is. Right? You're the same. You know who you are. You stand for something. There's action involved in who we are. You know, and here's the thing about integrity also. You know, integrity, trust is earned kind of like drip by drip. You know, you kind of raise your eyebrows. This person did something I respect. But man, you can lose integrity by the bucket. By the bucket. Let's be honest. If you saw me lose it on somebody after service and I started cussing at them and yelling, you'd be like, you'd lose some respect for me, right? Right? Even though you may have known me for years. You know, and that's what compromise does. You know, it takes a long time to build integrity. The same way that sin is forgiven in a moment, right? You can forgive somebody, but trust has to be earned. Okay? Well, man, listen, integrity is built. And we as believers should be people of great integrity. People say, man, I trust them. They are going to do the right thing, no matter what the circumstances call for. You know, and that's where we want to be. Because think about it too. Integrity is only proven under pressure. Integrity is proven when you have opportunity to compromise. Right? That's where it's proven. Pressure doesn't make you who you are. It reveals who you are. Who are you under pressure? Who are you when someone's really pushing your buttons? You know, and you wanna just lose it on them. Who are you in that moment? Can you be one of self-control in the spirit? Right? That's integrity. That all these things speak of integrity. Some of us have heard this scripture misused. This next slide, Proverbs 22, verse 1. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And I've seen this used many times, to like pick out a good name for your kid when they're born. Okay? It's really not what it's speaking of. It's speaking of what name have you earned? What has your name, the way you live, what has your name earned you? Okay? It says a good name. Integrity is to be chosen rather than riches. Because someone of integrity, that's a good name. That's somebody. That's someone. That's someone I can follow. That's someone I can trust. That's someone I can lean on. All right? So it's a good, that's what we want to be. We want to be people with a good name. Man, at the mention of your name in the workplace, what do people say? What do they say? Okay, and some of you have some real colorful adjectives pop into your head right now. what do people say? See, because again, that's defining who you are. That's what do people read? What is your integrity? And it matters in life. So let's pray right now. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you, Lord, for the truth that we have in your word. God, we thank you that you have shown us what true integrity is. Standing up, doing what is right, being complete, because you came down and lived on this earth. You chose to come down and set the example for us, to die for us, Lord. And Father, just open us up now, God, to grow, not to be condemned, but to be filled with life, that we can be people of great integrity. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Now, if you're following your note sheet in Sunday school, right, our memory verse, the main key verse today is this. Even if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. And that is from Daniel chapter 3, the 17th verse. And of course, it's referring to the story many of you would know, a story of three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right, now, what's the big idea for this morning, class? Here it is. Every Christian, okay, can walk in a great godly integrity. Okay, that didn't come out right, huh? Every Christian can stand firm with godly integrity if we stand firm in who we are in Christ, stand firm in the trials of fire, stand firm believing for the greater reward. Okay, how do we walk with integrity? Stand firm in who we are in Christ, stand firm in the trials of fire, stand firm in believing for the greater reward. So we're going to look at Daniel chapter 3 in these next moments together. And what's happening? What's the setting here for this story? This story about the fiery furnace and the three young Jewish guys. Okay, first, Israel, of course, had disobeyed God for really a couple centuries. And what happened was God lifted his hand of protection on them, let them live by their own strength, and they wound up being overthrown by Babylon about 600 years before Christ, about 598 BC, actually, historically. And when they were overrun, the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, started taking Jewish people, a lot of times the best and the brightest, and taking them captive back to Babylon over a 1,000-mile journey. Okay, taking them back to Babylon. And this is where we find, said these young Jewish boys. And in this time, but they would take them, they had a plan. They had a plan. They would take them when they were very young, early to mid-teenagers. They'd take them, and they would re-educate them. They'd give them new names, and then re-educate them according to their culture, their literature, right? Their spirituality. They would literally look to brainwash them and retrain them in their ways. They figured they took away from them everything they knew. They took their homeland. They took their temple, right? They took the Torah. They did not have the ancient scrolls here, okay? And so they took them away, and this is what they were hauled into. And you can't help but think about, I can't help but see some of the parallels of today when I see what's happening in our education system. You know, people are trying to re-educate your children, our children, right? There's a re-education they're trying to do in their culture, right? That is certainly not what God has in mind. And that is absolutely happening. But we see, though, listen, we can see that as these three men will show us, these three young men, you can withstand that pressure. You can stand with integrity no matter what the pressure is. Okay. Now, and also too, catch it. So they're dragged into this situation, but they're put again, but they bought the best and brightest. They want to retrain them that they can serve the king. Now, on some level, some people would take this as a real opportunity. I mean, hey, I came from a war-ravaged land in Israel. Now, I'm in a good school in the leading nation, the strongest nation on the planet. All right? And hey, listen, you just got a silver spoon handed to you. You just got to follow along, and you're going to be in a place of prestige and honor and wealth. That's all you got to do. See, so some people would look at this and say, man, you've been blessed. You've been blessed. Look where you wound up. And not even recognizing the compromise that would be in that statement, the compromise that would happen. But see, that's one of the scary things about losing integrity and compromise. It can happen without you even knowing it. At times we compromise thinking that it's God's blessing. Because, so see, this story reads of three young Jewish men. There were a lot more than that in that schooling, in that re-education time. Okay, so that's what we see happening here. That's the background. Now, if we're going to stand in integrity, the first thing is we have to stand firm in who we are in Christ. Let's start looking at the text. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Just for a second, 90 feet tall? This man has some image issues, doesn't he? And listen, this ceiling isn't close to 90 feet. This isn't close. A 90 feet tall statue. Okay, I could go different directions with that. He sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar obviously is an egomaniac, all right? I mean, he's really caught up in himself. But one thing this is also is going to be is a test of loyalty. A test of loyalty. Who are you loyal? Who are you loyal to in this moment? Then verse 4. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races, nations, and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither," a zither. Anybody know what a zither is? I looked it up. It's a small harp. It's a harp that sits on your lap. It's a miniature harp. Okay, a zither. Aaron, can we have a zither next week? That means we need a zitherer. Hannah, a zitherer? Zitherer? You'll try it out. Okay, a zither. Lyre, harp, pipes, other musical instruments. Bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Verse 6, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Well, that's pretty intense, isn't it? All right? See, it's a challenge. He's laying it down. It says, when you hear the sound, you better bow down. You better bow down and worship my image. Worship my image. If you don't worship my image, not only will you die, you're going to die a terrible death. We're going to throw you into fire. We're going to throw you into fire and listen to you scream, basically is what he is saying here. Now, on the plane that day, there we can say, in studying this out, there were at least 30,000 people. At least, maybe a couple hundred thousand, but I like to always go on the low end. There's at least 30,000 people in this place. And so, of course, they sound the alarm in this moment in time. And we don't have time to go through the whole text. But three people did not bow down. And it was these three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we will not bow down. Okay, and we'll read it here in verse 12. There were some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They had, listen, there were 127 provinces. They're in charge of one. Okay, and the Persian Empire, I'm sorry, this empire is huge. I'm getting into next week's message. I'm mixing them up. All right, so it said, this is a huge empire, but they're in charge of this whole province. They're in charge of the whole province here. All right, and so they already had prestige. But they refused to bow down. They pay no attention. These astrologers told the king, they pay no attention to you. They refuse to serve your gods and not worship the gold statue you have set up. So here we are introduced to the three young men, the integrity of these guys. And of course, this angered the king. But first, you know, one thing, it's just intriguing to me too, these three men. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the names given to them when they were taken captive. But let's just look at their three names and the meanings of their original names and the meaning of their name now. The first was Hananiah. Hananiah was his Hebrew name, okay? It meant Jehovah is gracious. He's now Shadrach, which is the name of Aku, the moon god, okay? So one who his name meant Jehovah is gracious, now his name is the moon god. Meshach, again, his name now means, Meshach means who is what Aku the moon god is. In other words, his name is a question. Like, who's as strong as the moon god? Okay, that's his name. But his name did mean Mishael, who belongs to God. And of course, Azariah, Jehovah helps, is now Abednego, servant of Nebo, the god of vegetation. I guess he's the vegan god, I guess is what he is. So they took their names that had such meaning in God, and they gave them new names. Which it's what culture wants to do. They wanted to re-educate them. That is no longer who you are. You're now in our culture. You're now in Babylon, and you now will worship what we worship in context here. But these three young men, even though they're renamed, even though they've been put through this education, they are saying we will not bow to that statue. We're not going to do this. God, and you know, as I look at this, one of the things I feel for our culture now, and particularly for parents and for us as a church family, is the necessity for our kids and our teenagers to know who they are in God. Man, you've got to know what you stand for. Just saying, if you're going to walk in integrity, you got to know what you're standing for. We're standing. We got to stand knowing who Jesus Christ is. You have to know. If they do not know who they are, they will be run over by the culture. And all of us are responsible for that. For us that have nieces, nephews, grandchildren, do they know who they are? Because culture will run them down. It's more important than ever. Because you think about all the Jews. Listen, on this plane, there were more than just three Jews on that plane looking at this statue. All the rest of them bowed the knee. Three, only three said no. Only three. So, man, God, let us catch that. So these three Hebrew young men, man, well, I just want to learn. We're never going to forget who we are, who we are in God. You will not stand to peer pressure. Okay, you're not going to stand. We will stand on our biblical convictions. What does God say? But also, you've got to know what the Bible says. You've got to know what the book says. Because one thing I see in our culture now, people are trying to take this book and twist it all kind of ways. Right? They're trying to take this book and literally make it say things it doesn't say. Okay? And they talk about it like they're authoritative. Okay? No, they're not. It's not. And so we need to know, if you don't know what the book says, how can you make a stand? See, so we've got to have integrity here too. So also, again, we do have a Bible study this Tuesday. Bible study, 6:30 to 7:30, 1 hour. Meeting here, we're going through 1 John verse by verse. Feel free to come out and be a part of that if you want to continue to grow in the Word. And one thing also, just going forward here, look, compromise. As we're saying, compromise is so easy. It's like a vine up a wall that we fall into compromise. You don't compromise after the 10th step. You compromise on the first step. It's the first, it's one little thing that you do. Because think about these Jewish young men standing here. What's the big deal if I just bow this one time? What's the big deal? God knows my heart. God knows my heart. Is it really going to matter? Is this really going to happen every day? I doubt it. It's not going to happen. Just do it. Just go along. It'll be okay. You don't have to make a stand for what you believe. How many of us are convicted that so often we've done that with our following Christ? Huh? I'll just go along right now. I'm not going to make an issue. Right? Integrity. Who you are 24/7, right? Who you are at work, at home, on the street. Who you are on vacation, who you are on a normal Wednesday night. Integrity is what God looks to bless. Okay, so every Christian can live with integrity by standing firm in who we are in Christ, but also standing firm in the trials of fire. Let's read forward in the text, verse 13. When he heard that these guys, of course, did not stand, Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage, ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up?" Again, he's in a rage. Verse 15, "I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" One thing I want you to catch here is obviously he's enraged. But he gives them one more chance. Look, you guys are important to me. You run this whole province. All you got to do is bow down. Just bow down. It's not a big deal. Just do it. It's almost like he's saying, I like you. I don't really want to have to kill you, but I will. But I'm giving you another chance. And listen, that's what culture does to us, really, almost a daily basis for some of us. Will you stand in integrity? Will you walk in integrity? Verse 16, their fabulous response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Wow. That's a stand. That is a stand. Everyone else is saying you're irrational, saying you're crazy. What are you doing? Don't you know that your God, our God's conquered when we took Israel? Right? Don't you realize that what you're saying makes no sense? But they stood. They said, "No, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do to us. We will not bow our knee to your God. We won't do it. We refuse to do it." What a stand. And again, see, and we have these scriptures. There's no one in this room that's faced a trial like these guys have. None of us have, right? But man, isn't it inspiring to see someone, these people, see examples of people making a stand like this, making this type of stand. See, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you call me. I'm not concerned about my life. I'm not concerned about poverty. I'm not concerned about my reputation. I'm not concerned. I will not do that. I will not say that. I will not bow. And again, I appreciate it. I just so appreciate too what it says here. It doesn't say God will save us. It says he's able to. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. We're not bowing. We know who our God is. See, that's where that step one means so much. We've got to know who he is. We've got to stand on reality of who is our God and who is Jesus Christ. Man, what comes out of your mouth when you're in a fiery trial? When you're being tempted to compromise, to get angry, cheat somebody, right? What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? Do we talk about how miserable we have it, or is your faith in God and in the Word of God? Where are we in this continuum here? Yeah, because remember, see, faith is truly not faith until you stand on His Word. And actually, faith is not faith until you believe God and He didn't give you what you wanted. Like, faith is really proven when you pray and you haven't gotten your answer and you still trust. That's faith. That's integrity. And that's what these guys were saying. Whether He saves us or not, we're not bowing. We're not bowing. This is our last day. That's fine. Man, so God, help us catch us. Yeah, let's go. This class, let's remember the memory verse. Even if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. We will trust God. And right now, as you're thinking about whatever trial you're in, you're thinking, man, my trial doesn't mean anything compared to what these guys went through. But it still matters. Because if it's tempting you to compromise, you want to compromise in a relationship, you want to compromise, take a shortcut financially, you want to compromise trying to, again, shortcut something with your career, Listen. Learn from this. God is able to keep you. God can keep you in that trial. Keep your integrity. Keep your integrity. So what happens? So again, Nebuchadnezzar is so furious in this moment. It says, actually, we're not going to take the time to go there, but it says his face was distorted with rage that these three young Jewish boys would dare defy him. And so he has the fire heated up, hotter than normal. It was so hot that, again, a couple soldiers were consumed in the process of all this happening. And here's one thing to think about, too. I'm thinking about about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, because he said they were going to throw them in immediately. They couldn't throw them in immediately because they were heating up the fire. Okay? So, in other words, they're standing there somewhere near this fire. And they hear the rage of the king, and they're watching the fire get stoked. They're stoking this fire, making it hotter and hotter and hotter. And they're just standing there. And what would be going through your mind? What would be going through your mind? What did we just do? Doug, what did we just decide to do? Remind me. Pinch me, please. Did we just say we're just going to take the fire? Right? The point is, they had plenty of time to think about this. They had plenty of time to think, well, yeah. Maybe we could compromise this one time. Maybe we could. Maybe that could, because the point is they had lots of time to think about it. But they still stood their ground. They stood there. Man, and they watched and waited. Man, a lot of time to think, but they would not compromise. Verse 21 to 23, it says, so they tied them up, threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. So it happened. I mean, they were just cast into this fire. Okay, so catch this. Can you stand in the fiery trial, right? If you're going to walk in integrity, you got to stand firm who you are in Christ. You got to stand firm in the trials of fire. And thirdly, as we had noted, you got to stand firm, expecting a greater reward. Let's see what happens. Verse 24 says, now they're in the fire, right? But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar, the king is close by watching this whole event, right? He's right there. He jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Wow, intense, huh? Fourth looks like a god. That's what he's speaking here. Who do you think the fourth one was? I mean, most people believe it was Jesus. He appeared. He was with them in the fire. You know, we sang that song today. There was another in the fire, right? Okay, that's referring to you and Jesus. Okay, he is in there with you. Jesus is there. He's there with us. And Nebuchadnezzar, can you imagine? Again, this is this guy who was filled with rage. He has this, you know, his blood is boiling. What do you think his emotion is at that moment? What is happening? What is happening? See, it's so good to put yourself into the story. Put yourself right into the narrative the scripture is speaking. What was going through Nebuchadnezzar's mind? We put three in. There's four people. There's four people in there. And it kind of looks like they're walking around in the midst of this. What's going on? Verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Oh, he's had an epiphany. He said, what? Come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, advisors crowded around them because nobody could believe this, right? This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They all crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Wow. Wow. Because they walked in integrity. Walk in integrity. See, you can be sure of your place in heaven if you walk with integrity. You're going to have that place. There is a greater reward. We're going to stand firm expecting a greater reward. You know, so they survived. They survived. Now, again, we got to the good part of the story. They survived the fire. If we have s'mores for you. If you want to open that, you can. Or it's snack time. You can have snack time. Or you can wait and have that later, okay? Personally, I'm waiting, okay? There's no way I could talk with a marshmallow in my mouth, so it's not going to happen. All right? So if you want to, you go ahead. Daniel 3:28, Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own. So again, he's totally changed. From what a few moments ago was enraged, wanting to kill them, is now claiming their God is Most High. Let's read on. Verse 29. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be burned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. And the king promoted them. They got higher positions in the kingdom. What an afternoon for those three guys, right? We think Nebuchadnezzar had a rush of emotion. Just think about those three. Man, from really thinking, okay, God, we're ready to meet you. We're faithful. I'm tied up, throw me into the furnace, to walking out of that fire and being promoted. But here's something else. We talk about, you got to remember, there is a greater reward. But let's just play this through for a moment. Their walk of integrity in this moment did more for making the Hebrew God, Yahweh, Jehovah, known than any words they could have ever spoken. I mean, think about this. I mean, they were serving God as Jews, really nondescript, not known. Right? But because of this stand of integrity, at least 30,000 people and eventually the whole kingdom heard about this act. They heard Nebuchadnezzar call the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the Most High. They heard the king say, hey, you don't have to worship me. you can worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their integrity was the greatest evangelistic act they ever did. All because they walked the walk. They walked the walk. If they did not walk in integrity, that would have never happened. Certainly there was more religious freedom in the kingdom because they walked in integrity. Three young Jewish men just defied the king. And the king lifts them up. And the king proclaims that Jehovah, he didn't use Jehovah. Jehovah is God. Man, this I want you to catch. Your integrity has more influence than any words you ever say. If you don't have integrity, your words don't have much weight, do they? Integrity. It's integrity that brings life. It's integrity that gives your words weight and meaning. And your integrity is proven when? Under pressure. How do you handle pressure? How do you handle those things? So again, every Christian can live a life of integrity by standing firm in these three ways. And next slide, please. Okay, stand firm in who we are in Christ. Stand firm in the trials of fire. Stand firm believing for the greater reward. If you stand firm, you will be able to walk in integrity. Now, just a final word about integrity. About compromise. You know, these guys were not thrown in the furnace for worshiping God. Okay? Last week, Daniel got thrown in the lion's den for worshiping God. These people got thrown in the furnace because they refused to worship the God of the age. They said, no, we're not going to worship that God. And, you know, there are many people in our country today, in our city today, they love Jesus, but they're far, far from him. Now again, they love Jesus, but they love the world more than they love Jesus. They love their life more than they love Jesus. And it's such a sly compromise, and it's deceptive, because we have thousands of people going around our county here in our city thinking that they're fine with God because they love Jesus. But they love the world more than Jesus. And there's a difference. There's a difference. That's a compromise. There's a compromise there. You know, and I think about Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, here he claimed, look, no one's going to say a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But sadly, Nebuchadnezzar, although he acknowledged that, he was never a follower. He didn't follow God. He acknowledged God, but he never gave his life to follow him. And so many are in our midst that are in that very place. Yep, yes, I love God. I love Jesus. I believe in him, but I've never given my life. I don't follow him. And we want to learn from that. We want to learn. I want to be aware of the people around me. I want them to know the truth. They need to know the truth. And if you're here today and you're saying, man, I've, that's me. I love Jesus, but man, I love my life more than I love Jesus. I love my way of doing it. I want to love Jesus my way. I want to love Jesus my way. I want to love Jesus the way I want, and I want to hold on to some things in my life. They don't honor him, but man, I love Jesus. You don't get it. That doesn't work that way. And if you're here today, and that's you, we do not want you to leave without getting that relationship right. You know, because listen, that mistake of thinking you love Jesus and that's enough, that's fatal. It's fatal. It's a fatal mistake. You do not have an eternal security if Jesus is not the leader of your life. And we endeavor to walk in that integrity before him. Don't leave today. Do not leave today if you have not settled that decision, or if you need to resettle that decision. Amen? Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you, and I'm just going to, again, just because God loves, he cares for you. Every one of us has a trial right now. It may not be thrown into a furnace, but you have a trial. Your trial may be you're single and don't want to be. Well, maybe you're married and you don't want to be. Your trial could be financial. Your trial could be guilt and shame. Let's give that to Him once again. God, I will walk in integrity through my trial. Well, how can I do that? Because I'm going to stand firm in knowing who I am in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is He? Can I trust Him? I will stand firm in this trial. I will stand firm. And I know there's a greater reward. There's a greater reward in this life as I walk in integrity, and a greater reward in the next life. No half-stepping, Father God. We will not compromise. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Doug, it's on.